Nice to have you with us here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Glad to have you along today as we begin our show by talking with you about an organization that helps Wisconsin writers grow. It is the Wisconsin Regional Writers Association, having its 60th anniversary Fall Writers Conference coming up September 26th through the 28th. So, boy, 10 days away. And so it's right here with us. You can still participate in it. And certainly today you're going to learn a lot more about it and about writing, too, we hope, as we visit with a couple of people. Nate Scholze of Sparta, Wisconsin, is vice president and also coordinator of the Fall Conference. And Lemoyne McLaughlin is a member of the board of the Wisconsin Regional Writers Association. They're happy to have them here today. And as you listen to them and have questions about writing or about the conference, I hope you'll join in. You can do it a couple of ways. One is to call us at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org. Nate Scholze, welcome back. Nice to have you with us again.
Thank you. It's good to be here again.
And Lemoyne McLaughlin, welcome.
Good to be here.
Glad to have you here. Now, the Wisconsin Writers Regional Writers Association was founded back in 1948, wasn't it?
1948, yeah. And at that time, it was known as the Wisconsin Rural Writers Association, in fact. And the name was changed in 1956, I believe.
Yeah, and Bob Gard was the
correct
the head guy.
Yeah. And along with a whole lot of other people.
And he was a great guy. Lemoyne, you know a lot about Bob Gard.
Yes.
He was a wonderful man.
Yes, he was, yeah.
I'm wondering about the purpose of this conference. You know, that we've obviously you've had 60 of them, and Nate, you've been on to talk about it in past years, but for those who aren't familiar with it, talk about the conference itself.
Okay, Larry, the Fall Writers Conference is actually has something for a little bit of something for everybody. In other words, whatever writing level folks are at, whether it's inexperienced or established authors, we kind of offer something for all different levels. In fact, in this year, the Writers' Conference is going to start with website expert Ralph Sharp, who actually maintains our website. He's nicknamed the Wizard because of his, his computer skills. So Ralph pretty well knows a lot about the internet content, and his presentation is going to be "Authors and the Internet: Make a Splash on the World Wide Web." Following Ralph on Saturday morning is going to be actually Mario Yule, who is Robert E. Gard's daughter.
Daughter, yeah.
We're really pleased and privileged to have her with us. She lives in Gunnison, Colorado, I think, now.
Yeah, correct. You know, maybe this would be a time to, although she would kill me if I tell this story. 1948, when regional, then Rural Writers was established, was, of course, Wisconsin's centennial year as well. Mm-hmm. And it was also the year when Mario was born. So I'm not going to say how old she is, but we're celebrating our 60th anniversary as an association. And Mario tells the story that her father, when she was born, wanted to name her Centenniana after the centennial. But Mario's mother, who was also named Mario, said, no. She doesn't want to have her daughter live through life with the name Centenniana. So Mario got named after her mother.
Do you think she's hearing all of that today?
Well, she could be. She could be. She's not here in the state, but, you know, we have a lot of listeners online.
I'm sure. Well, I need you guys to help me now.
But she is, you know, what did they say, the apple didn't fall far from the tree or whatever. Yeah. She turned into a writer and a teacher as well.
That's
and
right.
She'd be sharing her experiences, I assume.
That's yeah.
Right.
And she's received a lot of community, National Community Arts Awards for the various things she's done also. Following Mario in the afternoon on Saturday, Larry is going to be Nancy Christie. She's a professional writer from Ohio. And she's going to be talking about making money with words, corporate writing opportunities for the nonfiction folks. After Nancy, we're going to have Joanna McKenzie, who is a literary agent out of Chicago this year. She's with the Brown and Miller Literary Associates. And her presentation is "The Author-Agent Relationship, What You Need to Know About Finding Representation." building a platform and getting published. So it's a little different angle than we've had from some of the other agents we've had on the past about as far as building a platform. Following Joanna, actually, is going to be Lemoyne is going to have a presentation entitled Poetry in Our Youth. He's going to have several young people reading their poems. In fact, my sister-in-law, Lynn, is going to be there. She's 16, and I think you've got a couple other younger folks.
From throughout
cool.
Wisconsin. Yeah.
Yeah, this has been one of our requests from different folks to work some of the young people into the program. So that's our opportunity, and that should prove to be interesting and fun. In the evening on Saturday, Larry, we're going to have actually some hands-on events going on. We have an open mic at 7 o'clock where folks can just get up and read their material. There's no critiquing or anything allowed.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll just be able to read the material, hear the other material from other folks as far as what they've written. And then at 8 o'clock, we're having four different writing activity meetings. I'm going to be hosting fiction. Nonfiction will be with Robin Butler. Lemoyne is hosting poetry, and then we'll have published writers with Boyd Sutton. So this has been another request we've had from folks to have some hands-on opportunities. Folks at the conference can just join in these. These are going to be pretty lighthearted, no big pressure or anything, but a chance to do a few things one-on-one with some of the other writers in their genres. Sunday morning, we're going to have Lorraine Hawkinson on. She's the WRWA historian, and she's actually one of the original members of WRWA also. And she's just had a wealth of information over the years. Being that this is our 60th anniversary, we thought it appropriate that she could share some of these memories and thoughts. And she's actually been the library technician for the University of Madison for 27 years. I think we talked about that, so that's quite an accomplishment in itself. Following Lorraine is going to be Roseanne Bittner. We're kind of privileged to have her with us, too. She's an established novelist out of
published
Michigan.
Published a lot of books.
Yeah, yeah. She's written 57 and had 10 million sold. So the name of her presentation is going to be The Measure of Success, and she certainly has had a lot of success. One of the perks of her presentation, Roseanne's presentation, she's going to be giving a free copy of one of her books to everyone in attendance.
Oh, cool.
So everybody gets a free novel. And then the conference is going to wind up with our annual Jade Ring Banquet. And this is kind of a unique opportunity for folks because we have six different categories of contests where people have joined these or have put their
work out to be judged.
That's right. Yep. And their essay, article, nostalgia, adult short story, juvenile short story, and two different categories of poetry. And the winners from these contests are actually going to be reading their winning entries. So sometimes we have folks that say, well, I don't know if I want to get in the contest because I don't know what it takes to win. But we have the winners read it, so read their winning entries so they'll get a chance to hear those. So.
And now where is it located? Where is the conference going to be held?
This year it's going to be at the Plaza Hotel and Suites in Wausau. Mm-hmm. So that's a real nice facility. We've been there and checked it out, and it should be a nice place.
And certainly anybody, we've already sort of gone through the initial registration, but people can walk up and register as
right,
they walk up.
Right, yeah. On our website, actually, we have all the information regarding the registration and membership, in fact, and that's wrwa.net. And they can just print off a copy of the registration and send it in, or we also will take walk-ins, too.
As you think back, Lemoyne, on the Wisconsin Regional Writers Association, and think about its how it's benefited people. What are the few things that stand out in your mind as a?
Well, I think if I were to generalize about that, all too often I think beginning writers think that getting published, for instance, is beyond them. That writing their work down is more than they can handle. But I think Robert Gard from the very beginning said, well, wait, that's not what we're about. We're about mining what internal resources you have. And every individual has a story to tell, has many stories to tell. And I think Wisconsin Regional Writers has always been supportive of that concept, that writing is there for everyone to experience from both ends, from the reading end as well as from the actual writing end. And the work of Robert Gard clearly supported that. Robert Gard came to Wisconsin in 1945 to work in community theater primarily. And he had been following in much the similar footsteps of John Stuart Curry in visual arts at the University of Wisconsin. Yeah. And we have a tendency to forget that Curry was really the first artist in residence of any major university in the United States. We tend to think of artists in residence now as being, you know, kind of ho-hum. Well, okay, he's artist in residence. Curry was not hired to be a teacher here at the university, but to be an artist on campus. And what's also unique is that he was hired by the Department of Agriculture, as was Robert Gard. And, you know, these guys were, in a sense, in the wrong departments. But they were out there in the field as part of the Wisconsin idea, working with local visual artists or local writers, as Gard did, and trying to develop their talents and abilities. And Gard, after the first few years, well, very early on, he took this theater and called it the Wisconsin Idea Theater, and took it upon himself then to, as he describes it in one of his books, become one of the knights of the Wisconsin idea, traveling in the hinterlands of Wisconsin, developing those talents and abilities of local people. And in 1948, then, he and a number of other people formed the Wisconsin Regional Writers Association. I'm originally from Eau Claire, and I remember during the late 40s and early 50s in the public schools growing up, and it seemed that there was a mantra here at Wisconsin Public Radio. You know, this was a production of the Wisconsin Idea Theater, Robert Gard director. I mean, it seems like we were hearing that all the time. And at that point, the Wisconsin Idea was still very real. I mean, these people went out into the hinterlands, bringing the resources of state government and of the university to local people. And I think that still happens, of course, in Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television.
Well, it's yeah, it's a great legacy that that he has left us. That is for sure. And yeah, it was probably unusual. I'm not quite sure why he wound up in why they both, Curry and Gard, both wound up in agriculture. Although I think the College of Agriculture has had some affinity for the arts over the years.
Well, I think what it was, as much as anything, and this I would love to research this. I haven't really seen this written down. But the people, and Dean Christensen, who was dean of the Department of Ag at that time, I believe, they viewed the farm as more than simply an economic unit. They knew that if it was going to work, and it needed to work for our economy in Wisconsin, it needed to be viewed as a social entity. It needed to be viewed as more than an economic unit, but they had to bring all of the elements of what made people human beings together to make these, to make the difficult work of Wisconsin farming survivable by these people. And the arts and culture were part of that. Writing was part of that.
Absolutely. We're talking today about the Wisconsin Regional Writers Association and its conference. It's the 60th anniversary Fall Writers Conference, September 26th through the 28th. Talking too, we haven't gotten into this a bit, but we're going to talk about writing itself and maybe some of the highlight some of the topics again and talk about agents and talk about the various levels of writing. And certainly, if you are one of those people who is writing or trying to write, and have some questions, we'd certainly welcome those as well as we move along today. So give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Dave Protratz, our on-air producer. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Talking writing today with Nate Schulze of Sparta, Wisconsin, vice president and coordinator of the Fall a conference for the Wisconsin Regional Writers Association, and as well talking with Lemoyne McLaughlin, who is a member of the board of directors of the association. Really pleased to have them with us. And again, if you'd like to join in, give us a call at 800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'll be glad to get you on the air. You know, I have a friend who has written what I haven't seen much of it, but I, you know, she spent about 5 years on a novel, and I keep pushing her. She's won some awards, you know, some contests and so forth for pieces of it that she has entered. and gets these rave reviews, but she is very reluctant to go out and try and sell it. Is that a normal thing, Nate? Or?
It's really a common tale. These days, there is such a, I'd call it maybe a glut of material that's being constantly submitted. Folks are writing, I don't know if they're writing more, but they're in relation to the amount of agents that are probably available. There's probably just as many or more than there used to be. I remember a few years ago, I went to Milwaukee Writers Fest and talked to an agent from Chicago there. And he had stated that their agency receives 100 manuscripts a week. And he said that that year, they took a total of four new clients on, is what they took. So it's kind of a tough business. Everyone has told me that the trick and the key is just persistence. Just keep making your material better and keep submitting and keep working toward publication. And eventually it can happen.
Yeah. But are there people who... who write something and then don't try to, you know, I'm thinking about my own friend.
Well, yes, of course. I my answer to the question would be, you know, that the answer is it varies with every single individual who writes. I mean, some people write just to get published and just to make money, and they will write anything to do that. There are others who are writing, I think, because they have to get it out. My special focus has been poetry.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember a couple of years ago, Robert Bly said there were two full-time poets left in the United States. And I think he included himself, and he's no longer full-time anymore. And he also said, you know, if you publish 2,000 copies of a book of poetry, you're a national bestseller. I mean, compare that to Harry Potter.
Yeah.
I mean, the poets have a problem. So why do you write poetry? You write poetry because you have to. You have to get it out. And nobody is going to be...
nobody's going to become a millionaire.
Exactly. Writing poetry.
There are only one national poet.
Yeah, Poet Laureate, you mean.
Poet
Laureate, yeah,
I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah.
So let's go to John in Kenosha, see what's on John's mind. Hi, John. Thanks for calling.
Hello, Larry. How very nice to have this opportunity to tell your listeners about another conference, Cottage College, located in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Does an annual October conference, October 17th and 18th. It's called The Business of Children's Publishing. And we bring in 8 people, a publisher, an author, an editor, an illustrator, a marketing manager, and an agent, as they each talk about their specific job roles in the process of moving from a first idea through to a published book.
And John, this is going to, where is it again?
It's in Kenosha, Wisconsin, and it's Friday, October 17th, and Saturday, October 18th.
And the location was?
Kenosha.
Okay. And is there a website?
Pardon me?
Is there a website?
There is a website, www.carthage.edu/childliterature.
Child literature. Well, that's I thank you very much for calling, John. Appreciate it. Children's literature is, well, you mentioned Harry Potter. Would that be considered children's literature?
Yeah,
and that's a good question. And, you know, while we're talking about conferences, too, Wisconsin Regional Writers also hosts a spring conference. There are two annual conferences that we host. And our spring conference following this upcoming fall conference in Wausau will be held up in the hinterlands of Siren, Wisconsin.
Huh.
And we're glad to be able to host the conference up in northern Wisconsin.
And that's...
That will be at the beginning of May of 2009, yes.
2009, okay. Well, John, again, I thank you very much for calling. Let's take another call. Betty in Madison, I believe, is up next, so let's go to Betty. Betty, hi, thank you for calling.
Hi. My question, I went to school, and I majored in English with an emphasis in creative writing, and did some writing of poetry, won a couple of contests, and eventually wrote a manuscript of short stories, and then ended up having some health problems and a back surgery. And so over the last 5 years or so, I've kind of drifted away from what was really my passion. And I've tried to get back to it, but because of the limitations that I have with pain and such, I'm just stalling. Not stalling mentally so much as stalling physically. And I just wonder if you have any, have you ever talked to anybody who's been in a situation like mine?
Okay.
And have any tips or suggestions to kind of get back in the swing of things.
Okay, well maybe pose that to both of our guests. Lemoyne, do you want to start?
Well, it's hard to respond specifically since I don't know exactly what your physical condition is.
Well, I'm up and around, but it's, I guess with my back, it's hard for me to be in one position, you know, at a computer and even writing longhand. So I find that I start to just get inspired and take off, and then I have to stop because I'm having pain or something.
Yeah.
One of the things that I've been intrigued about lately are, you know, the alternate possibilities to the computer keyboard. There are some voice recognition programs that are apparently becoming very efficient. And what I would suggest maybe is carrying around a tape recorder and putting your thoughts down on tape, getting one of those voice recognition programs and see how that works for you.
Oh, okay.
You wouldn't have... I understand also the problems of sitting in front of a keyboard in the computer.
Yeah.
You also gain weight doing that. that's something I've been trying to work on. That would be just one small suggestion that I'd have.
Yeah.
Okay.
Nate?
Yeah. The other thing, Betty, that I've often heard, and we've dealt with some with folks that we've known in writing, is when it comes down to writing itself, as far as inspiration, sometimes a person just has to start writing. You get an idea, and, you know, the perfect words don't always come. But if you get something down and then either go back to it or just continue on with your thought process, sometimes the words start to come a little easier. There's a lot of times when I'm writing.
What? I have a manuscript of completed short stories. I mean, they're not, I mean, they need some work. But, you know, I hear from different people, you know, it's better after I'm older and wiser or whatever to start fresh and to, you know, leave those behind and not work on those. And yet I find myself being drawn back to some of the stories in terms of revising. And, you know, do you have any thoughts on that?
Yeah, actually, you know, that's the thought more is material that you have written. Sometimes it takes a long time to get that, you know, to the point where you're satisfied. I know I'm in the process of writing my second novel. I don't have my first published yet, but I have the manuscript out there. And I've went over that many times. I've submitted it a couple times and gotten suggestions on things that an agent or an editor thought could be changed. For me, it's kind of like doing a painting, you know, when you're drawing it all out or writing out your the words in your manuscript, and when you go over it, you change something or you alter some sentences, maybe delete a few, and eventually the picture just becomes a little clearer. So I've known many times I've heard writers that spent 15 years writing their first book. And so it's not unusual. I would encourage you, Betty, to continue with your manuscripts and keep working on them. I think the inspiration could come at times that you might not even think.
Yeah. Well, and how many stories do we know, too, of authors who, once they get published, the first thing they do upon publication is take their book and revise it.
Yeah. You know. So
maybe that, you know, they're stale or they're adolescent because they were written at a different time in my life, and, you know, that I should just start fresh.
Well, yeah. Sometimes that's true, but, you know, they always say that if once you finish a manuscript, they suggest that you just put it in a drawer somewhere and don't even look at it for at least a month. And then when you pull it out, you will see things that you didn't realize, maybe that sound completely different that you can see could be altered or changed. So I would still encourage you, Betty, just I wouldn't just stick them away and not work with them anymore. I'd pull out that old material and look that over, read it over, and see if you can bring it up a little more.
The classical Latin poet Horace said that that's what you were supposed to do with your poems, put them away for 7 years.
Wow.
And then pull them out again.
Oh, thanks, Betty. Good luck.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Appreciate it. Tom in Grand Rapids, your turn now. Hi, Tom.
Morning. I'm just curious what your association process is with new writers. I've got a couple of books I've written, and this is the first I've heard of your association. So what is your process?
Well, who is this again?
It's Tom from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Tom.
Minnesota.
No, I'm sorry, Grand Rapids, Minnesota. Excuse me.
We really encourage new writers, Tom. In fact, that's part of what our organization is all about. We have a membership, again, on our website, wrwa.net, that you're able to go to. And it's really quite reasonable, $25 for a year for an adult. And what we are able to offer there, you get a quarterly journal, and we have an online writing forum that you're able to tap into that's got almost 50 writers now that that contribute their thoughts to it, Tom. And then, of course, the conferences that we offer, we really try to help new writers as much as we can.
So this conference that's coming up in September 26th through the 28th, that might be something that Tom would benefit from or could benefit from.
Yeah, Tom, how far are you from Wisconsin?
Well, I live in the Twin Cities area.
Oh, okay.
But I would gladly come over there because this is my life's work, and I'd
okay.
I'd
well, the reason I mentioned that is the Wisconsin Regional Writers Association is also divided into six regions, and there are activities within each of those regions. The Twin Cities is close to the Northwest region. River Falls and Hudson, Wisconsin, are kind of the southernmost area of the Northwestern region. And there are activities and groups within that region that you might be able to tie into and benefit from.
I'll do that.
And the conference is in Wausau this year, which isn't a real burdensome drive for you either.
Right. Well, and next fall, the conference is in Eau Claire. So that would
even be closer.
Yeah.
One of the other advantages, Tom, of the conferences is that, especially for new writers, there's a lot of experienced writers, and even the speakers are have their specialties. You're just able to get one-on-one with these folks. And in fact, if you wanted to partake of those Saturday night activities, there's four different meetings. We have the fiction one that you could get involved with, and we're actually doing a writing exercise that night, which is going to be kind of a fun writing exercise. And we're going to have writers involved from all different experience levels. So,
so you've got fiction and another one on nonfiction, another one on for published writers, and the fourth was
poetry.
How could I forget?
Also, we should mention that on Friday evening, before the conference officially starts, we have a writers' roundtable where local writers are again able to share their work with one another. And you develop some very supportive and beneficial individual relationships with local writers throughout Wisconsin.
And again, these are all the writing roundtable. There's no critiquing, so this is just a fun weekend for folks to share their material. There's no fear of people criticizing what you're writing in front of anyone either. So it's a fun time.
So, well, thank you.
Yeah, there you have it. And again, the website is wrwa.net. And just go on the website and you'll find out about the conference and more about the organization.
I'll be doing it tonight.
All right. Thanks, Tom, for calling. Appreciate it. And let's take some more calls. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. And Ruth in Shawnee is up next. Hi, Ruth.
Yeah, hello. See, I'm looking at a letter that I received in 1985, April, and notifying me that I won seventh prize in the 1985 Yarns of Yesteryear contest. So I was thrilled. But I've been writing ever since, but not publishing. I write a daily journal, and I have for 70 years. Is this a compulsion or what? And also, how about another contest, state contest of writers like me?
Oh, the sort of on the yarns of yesteryear.
Yes.
Okay. Well, what do you think, guys?
Well, as far as the contests go, we the Jade Ring contests that we have actually have a nostalgia category, so that might
I think that comes close.
Yeah, that might interest you there, Ruth. Again, the contests we're able to access on the website, on the internet, www.wrwa.net. And if you're not able, do you have a web access?
Do not.
You do not. Okay. We also, see, we could give out phone number probably.
Well, I was going to say, Ruth, Shawano isn't very far from Wausau.
Yes.
Try to make it over to Wausau to our fall conference. You'd be surprised at the wealth of resources in the association. I think that could help you out.
Yeah, it's worth it's certainly worth a look. And do you have a number if she wanted to call to find out more about the conference and so forth? We'll get that number for you. So stay listening, Ruth.
Sure.
All right. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. If you have a question about the conference or about writing, we would love to hear from you. The Yarns of Yesteryear, that was, I interviewed Bob Gard about that many times, and there were published books, Yarns of Yesteryear books that were published, and it really was a wonderful experience for a lot of people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, let's take another call. Nancy in Bailey's Harbor has a question. Nancy, hi.
Well, hello, Larry. I saw you and toured the ridges with you last week.
Oh, great.
And gave you a copy of the Wisconsin Poets Calendar for 2009.
That's exactly right.
And I did want to mention that both WRWA and WFOP, the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets, that in the beginning, another person involved was August Derleth for both of those organizations.
That's exactly right.
And I've always thought that was interesting, and I also applaud the work of the people that are working to keep Augie's work going and keep publishing it, too.
Yeah, Derleth and Gard were very close throughout, I think, both of their careers. Before Gard would get a book published, he would always take it over to August Derleth for review and critique. And very frequently, most frequently, he would implement every one of August Derleth's recommendations.
Well, that says something about the man, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
Well, even more than that. I mean, August Derleth died sitting on an estate in excess of what any other Wisconsin author ever achieved. He was clearly financially the most successful author in Wisconsin history.
And so prolific with all of the genres that he would write in.
Yeah,
10,000 words a day was not beyond him by any means.
That's amazing. Nancy, thank you.
Well, I have one more comment.
Sure.
We're talking about conferences. The Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets conference is coming up on Halloween weekend, and it will be in Marshfield. And if people want more information, they can go to WFOP.org and find out.
WFOP.org.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Nancy. Thanks very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Mike in Madison is up next, so let's go to Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hi. Good morning. I am a man who is a senior citizen. I have a lot of stories to tell. I came from another country, which is India, and over here and making this as my second home. Could you tell me how interesting? I want to write my memoirs in the form of a novel. How can I make it interesting for younger people and other people? One thing I thought was I can make it as a historical event that go with my different events of my life. I coincide them with that. For example, Second World War started in 1939. I born right after, right during that year or something like that.
Okay, so you're thinking about tying your own history in with the sort of world events.
Historical events, or...
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What do you think, Nate?
Well, I think that's a good idea, Mike. The thing you want to remember with if you're going to make your memories into a novel is you got to have that dramatic touch in there, and you got to make it interesting, an interesting story for folks who are going to read it. Of course, it'll be fiction if it's a novel, but the things that actually happened in your life, you're going to be able to work into that.
The other thing I would add, I guess at the risk of overgeneralization, is don't underestimate the power of detail. Your life, everyone's life is filled with detail that we sometimes overlook and take for granted. Put that on the page.
What would be an example, or can you come up with an example of a detail that sometimes people would overlook?
Put
you on the spot.
Basically, far as the details go, a real good description of something to the point where you can almost smell it.
Yes, exactly.
Or you can really visualize it in detail as if you're almost holding the thing in front of you. That kind of detail can really hold a reader's attention.
Yeah. So. All right. Thanks, Mike. Thank you very much for calling. And I think these guys are encouraging you to go ahead and give it a try. And even for you, if you're writing it, it sounds like you're kind of writing it for your family in a way. But it could, it could turn into something else. But even if something for the family, I was talking with an author not too long ago who said he wrote something for his he's a successful author, but he wrote something for his family, and it was the most, it was the best thing that he ever did in the way of writing by doing something like that for his family. So something like the Writer's Workshop might even be useful for you as a writer. And I had an email from somebody else who wondered about what is in this for writers of children's books. Is there something at the Writers' Conference that could be useful for writers of children's books?
Yeah, Wisconsin Regional Writers has a number of people who are interested in writing children's books. If you came to the conference, you would be able to connect with them to form new associations that, as I said before, who knows how beneficial they might be in the future.
So, again, thank you very much, Mike, for calling. I appreciate your call. And Nate and Lemoyne, thank you so much. Boy, the time flew by. So, again, we've got the conference is September 26th through the 28th. It's at the Plaza Hotel and Suites in Wausau, Wisconsin. And to find out, you can show up and register at the time. If you haven't registered already, you can still attend this fall conference. And to learn more, go to wrwa.net, wrwa.net. And, Nate, did you ever find a phone?
Yeah, I think I got a phone number here for Ruth. If she were to call our registration chair, Star Davies, at 608-290-3914, she'd be able to get information about the conference, if she'd like to come to it. And we'd love to see her there.
So it's area code 608-290-3914.
Yeah, for those folks who don't have access to the website.
All right. Thanks again, both of you, very much. I really appreciate having you with us today.
Thank you, Larry.
Nate Schulze is Vice President and Coordinator of the Fall Conference for the Wisconsin Regional Writers Association. And Lemoyne McLaughlin is a member of the Board of Directors of the organization. It's a great organization. They do a lot of good things, and I'm really pleased to have them here and have a chance to let you know about the conference and a little bit more about writing as well. And we're going to learn a little bit more about science coming up next with Bassam Shakashiri, UW-Madison Professor of Chemistry, next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.